Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
We're also joined on a regular basis by 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard.
Being the backup quarterback, you've got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to CJ and Steve about the 49ers' 30-27 win over the Detroit Lions. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Joining us now, San Francisco 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard. C.J., thanks so much for joining us this season. We're really glad to have you. First of all, let's talk about you. How are you doing? How's the foot doing after the preseason, and how do you feel coming into the season now that we're a couple of weeks into it?
I feel good. The foot feels good. It was just a little Achilles injury, ankle type deal, and feels good, and definitely feels good to get our first win under our belt last week of the season.
Well, you definitely had to take a deep breath there in the fourth quarter. Tell us about the emotions on the sidelines, because you guys had a pretty big lead there. And then, you know, Matthew Stafford, you know what he's capable of, and, you know, he brought the Lions back to within a field goal.
Yeah. I mean, we had a nice lead going there into the fourth quarter, and that's part of the NFL. There's a bunch of, you know, great players that can get any team back in the game. And I think we kind of let off the gas there a little bit, you know, on all three sides of the football. And, it's something to learn from for sure, to know that, when you got a team like that, you really want to step on the gas pedal and put it on them and not let up. And, you know, I think we'll take that and learn from it as we go forward.
You know, all quarterbacks go through it. You let a pass go, and then you almost wince because, there's an interception. That's what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo. Unfortunately, there was that flag for holding, so no interception goes in the books. But I'm sure you could relate to that. You know, maybe there's a little bit of a miscommunication with the running back there, and then, it's a pick.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, actually, you know, what a lot of people don't know is actually a miscommunication. We're sitting running outside. It was supposed to be almost a sort of a pick type play, and the receiver on the outside didn't get a rub, and obviously we like to, you know, ditch the ball or whatever, but it's definitely one that, you know, we've all been there before, and you let it go, and you want to have it back, but there was a messed up by a receiver on the outside, which didn't help.
Fortunately, George Kittle was held on that play, and I wanted to ask you about him because you played college ball with him, and he is definitely becoming a favorite receiver of Jimmy Garoppolo. What does he bring to the table? I mean, he definitely looks like he's going to be a big part of this team this year.
Yeah, I think he's a really good player, and I think he's going to be a big part of this offense this year. He already have. He had a big game one against the Vikings, and I think he's going to be a big key to our success this year as an offense. He's an athletic guy, real athletic, and can get open. He can do things that not a lot of tight ends can do. Not only can he block, but he can run really well and get open in routes.
You know, it is a little frustrating for everybody when you have a Lions defense like that that was playing pretty well in man-to-man coverage. It seemed like Jimmy G, you didn't have many open receivers, and I'm sure you can relate to it. I know last year there were times where, you know, you took a lot of punishment, some sacks, and he took six of them in this game. How tough is that when the defense is playing that tight?
It's tough. You know, it's tough. I mean, we knew it was going to be a man-to-man game. It's just a matter of guys getting some separation and trying to get open. And, they had some good defensive backs on their end. And, We just weren't getting the separation that we were wanting, and it, it's tough when it's tough to when guys aren't getting that separation to kind of get through progressions and get a good pass for us and whatnot. But like I said, we got a young team, and we looked at the tape, and we're going to learn from them. These guys are just getting better each and every week.
You know, when McKinnon went down, I think it was sort of deflating for a lot of fans. But I'll tell you, Matt Breida looked great. What did that do for the confidence of the 49ers offense to know that you could run like that, where you got a guy who can just break open and end up with over 100 yards in Breida?
Yeah, I think everyone on the team knew it. Knew the guy that Breida is and what he brings to the table. And he's a really good back, and he just doesn't get the recognition that a lot of these backs, around the NFL get. And I think this is just his first, the first glimpse that, a lot of outside people have got of Matt. He works his butt off, at the facility and in the off season. He's a smart guy, and he's a really good running back, and he's really going to help this offense this year.
And I'm sure you watched Alfred Morris when he was with the Redskins and then with the Cowboys. And, he's always been an effective back. It looks like he is also going to really help out a lot. And he was a late add to this team.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Alf's a great veteran guy, really good dude, a really good running back. And, he was a late add, but he's a big piece of this offense as well. It was a really good addition for this team, especially, having that when Jet went down, unfortunately. But it was good to add Alf into the run game, and he's doing a good job.
CJ, there was a lot of talk before the season about the 49ers pass rush. Was it going to be enough? And, it looks like DeForest Buckner is looking like he's even improving from last year as a defensive player. Mm-hmm. And he's already got 3.5 sacks. So, what's he look like in practice? I mean, did you see this coming this year that he'd be even more improved?
Oh, yeah. DeForest is just he's a freak. He's one of those guys that you feel bad for anybody that has to go up against him and block him.
Right.
We saw it all in OTAs and camp. And we knew he was going to be, a force to be reckoned with this season. And he's already showed it throughout two games. I'm just excited to see, what he'll do the rest of the season.
And Dante Pettis, there's a guy that many people didn't know a lot about. What can you tell us about him? I mean, he certainly welcomed himself in the first game when he made that great catch and that touchdown. And, I know he didn't have a lot of catches in this game, but he does look like a guy who could really, be a star player if he fulfills his potential. What do you think?
Yeah, Dante's got, all the skills and ability to be a great receiver in this league. He's young. He's still learning a lot of things. But he's definitely got the ability and skill set. He's a smart guy. And he's going to be, like all these guys, I think he's going to be a big part of this offense this year. And he does some freaky things with his body and getting up.
Now, you guys are playing at Kansas City on Sunday, and the Chiefs have just been incredible. I'm sure you've probably seen some of the highlights of Patrick Mahomes with his 6 touchdowns against the Steelers and 10 in the first 2 games. So playing at Kansas City and that atmosphere and everything, I would think that you really have to be ready for that challenge.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Patrick's done a great job so far this season, and they've got off to a really good start. And, we know the trouble that offense brings. They're really skilled offense with their tight ends, receivers, running backs. And then add Patrick to that, they're just really explosive offense. And, I think we're going to, work hard all week and get some good looks for our defense this week and hopefully go in there and play a good game. And we come out there with a win.
How much does it help to get Reuben Foster back?
That's big. Reuben's a big part of our defense, our team, and just to have his leadership and his personality in the locker room around the guys and on the field is just when you got that guy as one of your linebackers, it just your defense just feels meaner and better too.
All right, CJ, before I let you go, how are you getting ready each week? Because, you didn't get a lot of reps there in the preseason. So how important is it for you during the week to be ready? And what are you doing to be ready for getting action?
Yeah, I mean, being the backup quarterback, you got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there and getting all the game reps. So, obviously, you're limited reps in practice. But you just got to take advantage of it. If you do get in practice, the scout team reps, you're getting the defensive looks, obviously, you know, trying to take those, like, reps. But, you know, more than anything, it's watching film and staying in the film room. Mentally, I think more than any position, the quarterback position is more mentally than anything else. And the more film you get and watch on the defense, you can kind of see, you know, what they do. And then, you know, that way when you get on the field, it feels a lot better and more comfortable than like you've seen it before.
And have you developed a pretty good friendship with Jimmy Garoppolo since he's been here?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy's awesome, man. We get along really well. We have a good relationship. We talk. We're friends off the field too, which is cool. He's a normal guy, a down earth guy, and you know, fun guy to be around.
All right. Well, the 49ers are in great position with you two guys under center. CJ, mm-hmm. Thanks so much for the time. Congrats on the win, and good luck in Kansas City.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard. Coming up, we'll hear from former 49ers QB Steve Bono when 49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Win's a win, but it feels like a loss to me. You know, we played like crap down the stretch on defense. You know, offense, they gave us 30 points. You know, it was 30-13 going into fourth. We got to execute down the stretch. Stafford's a good quarterback. They're a good team, but we got to execute down the stretch and we got to play better. I think it's a good learning lesson for a young team that we need it. You know, it's a humbling lesson. Thank goodness we got the win out of it, but it's a lot of good tape, a lot of good learning from this.
Richard Sherman right there talking about a win's a win, but kind of felt like a loss. And Steve, I'm sure you've been in those shoes before where you know, you have a decent lead and almost blow it, yet still win the game, because that was sort of one of those things where you took a deep breath near the end of that game because the 49ers almost blew a 17-point fourth-quarter lead.
Yeah, and he's right. A win is a win, and you take them however you can get them in the NFL because they don't come easily. But the whole stadium, I took the deep breath. The whole stadium went silent. I mean, sitting there, and I'm like, and it, everybody held their breath. It was totally silent for a split second until the Detroit fans stood up and I looked back and saw the laundry on the field, like, yes. Oh.
Wow. Well, yeah. Let's go over that pass because, yeah, that could have ruined everything if not for the holding penalty. But it looked like a little miscommunication there with Jimmy G and Breida, and then, I mean, I know you've thrown a pass like that before where it's leaving your hand and you're going, oh, no, oh, no.
Unfortunately, I've thrown that one too many times to go the other way.
Everybody has.
Everybody has, and that, you know, a kind of halfback read. I think what I saw, and I haven't seen it much in the highlight, you know, where you could really slow it down, but what I saw live was Jimmy G going to throw it, and he kind of gets bumped a little bit on his left side. Now, I'm not defending him throwing it because he shouldn't have thrown it, but he doesn't get a whole lot on it is my point. He gets bumped a little bit on his left side, and it looks like, to me, live, he can't follow through on it.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it in a highlight, you know. I haven't listened to one of the experts talk about it.
Right. Which is probably better.
Yeah. But that's what I saw live, and I, you know, and I was like, oh shoot. We just gave that one away. But thank goodness. What was it called? Was it pass interference or was it?
No, it was holding on Kittle. Holding. By the way, George Kittle said that Diggs grabbed everything he could possibly grab. I don't know about that, but he did grab him, and you know, you could see it on the replay that it definitely was holding.
Yeah. What and was Kittle running some sort of a you know, basic route across the middle.
Yeah, he was over the middle somewhere. Guess. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it really, it probably was 20 halfback read was the play. Unfortunately, anybody that's played in that system, I mean, Kyle's system is, you know, is pretty similar to what we did, under his dad and before. So, anybody that's played in the system is unfortunately throwing a pick six on that play.
Well, is that one where you got to get rid of it quicker? Is that the deal? Because I mean, you know the guy's there. You know the defensive back is right there.
You know, it was originally designed that it was a truly a read on the halfback's part. So you know he was running the route on that linebacker, and if he was inside, yes, he would stick him, and then the back would stick him and then make the move outside. But if my eyes serve me correctly, my memory serves me correctly, and it was it Breida running the route, or was it more?
Yeah, it was Breida. Breida. Yeah.
He just kind of rounded it out, so he didn't necessarily help Jimmy G either. You know, he's got to freeze that linebacker for a split second, and sure. Then, you know, when he's coming out of that route, the ball should already be in the air. I don't think it was. You know, that's the textbook theoretical way of it working.
Right. Well, Steve, hear me out on my analogy here. That's like if you're in a courtroom and they tell the jury to disregard those comments, you know, objection sustained. Because the reason I say that is because it's hard to disregard that in a court, and it's hard to disregard that play happened, even though it didn't count.
I'm totally with you. Disregard. I don't know how that happens. You know, disregard that. You know, we said he, you know, did whatever, and he or she. Anyway, yeah, I'm not sure how you don't you can't really disregard it. But I'm glad there was a penalty, and I'm glad we won the game.
The one thing that did count is the performance of Matt Breida. I don't know that I saw this coming, but a career-high 138 yards, that 66-yard run. I mean, he just was incredible.
And it was only 10 carries, I think, right?
Let's see. What did he have? He had 11 carries. 11 carries.
Okay,
so he averaged 12.5.
Okay. I do remember at one point them showing the stat. It was 10 carries for 139 yards. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's good for him. That means the offensive line was opening holes. And that's great for 49er offense. Because if the running game's going, then the play action game gets better. And I know that Kyle likes, you know, he likes that. He likes the play action. He likes the, kind of the waggle or the, not waggle, what would we call them? Wacos. Overall, that's good for everybody.
Well, I thought that
great,
was a
great for the defense. Keeps them off the field.
Oh yeah.
Shortens the game.
Yeah. I thought that was a small hole too on that big run, the 66 yarder, because Person kind of opened up a little hole. I mean, he just busted through it, and then good downfield blocking. You love to see that. I mean, Pierre Garçon helping him out down the field kind of reminded me of Jerry Rice, because Jerry Rice, you know, he's the greatest receiver of all time, but he was a pretty good downfield blocker too, right?
Sure. Jerry and John were great downfield blockers. They took pride in you know, getting in somebody's way and allowing running backs, Roger, whomever, to get past them. And they were all doing it. I was going to bring that point up, but you already did. I thought it was great. They were all downfield blocking. It's not even having, you know, you don't have to knock the guy over. All you have to do is get between the runner and the defender and kind of stay there and kind of deflect them.
Right. Just be there, though. Be downfield. I mean, make sure you're there.
Exactly. Just be there. Yep.
So that was a good note on the offensive side. I mean, the bad note, I mean, even though this team did score 30 points, but the bad note is that Jimmy G ended up taking 6 sacks, and a lot of it to me was because of the coverage. Coverage sacks all the way. What'd you think?
I would completely agree. He and I have to admit, I was watching him more than I was watching the receivers live. And I would say that he looked a little fidgety, but he fidgety is probably not the right word. He was looking. I mean, there were guys covered just by watching him and how he was moving his feet and the sacks, that coverage was good.
Well, let's actually hear what head coach Kyle Shanahan had to say about facing the Lions' man coverage.
All of our guys struggled a little bit yesterday. I thought that Pierre did the best beating the man coverage. They played very, very tight man coverage, aggressive coverage, holding them a lot, which is part of the game because rarely does that stuff get called. So you got to see how it's going to play early in the game, and then you see they're going to let them do it, so you got to get used to it. And I thought Pierre did the best one beating holding.
All right, so, yeah, I mean, man coverage was tough. I mean, and what do you do in those situations? I mean, has it become a situation where you have to be more physical? Did the receivers kind of lose out on those battles?
The short answer to your question is yes, they do lose out on the battles. If you have some bigger, more physical corners, and you're going to play the 49ers, whether, they're going to, I think teams now are going to see that what Detroit did, they could man up with the receivers, have some control of them physically and be able to run with them. And I suspect that the Niners are going to see more of that. And it also disrupts the offense. We would see this when we were playing, even though it was hard to do against John and Jerry because of their size, but every once in a while teams would get up in their face, and they would play two man, two deep, five under man, and really disrupt the timing of the passing game. And I would say that's more of what happened on Sunday, but we don't have exactly the biggest receivers either.
No,
physically big. So I give credit to Detroit, and I think those guys are going to have to work more on that coverage, because I would say that they're going to see that more now.
Well, I would say that if receivers aren't open, I don't mind a quarterback taking sacks. Now, I know the 49ers had to settle for, a field goal that one time when Eli Harold sacked Jimmy G. I mean, that was a bummer, but at the same time, I'd rather not see him throw an interception. It's kind of like what I was reading last week, Steve, after that game. Steve Young came out and was talking about how sometimes you just got to live to see another day. You take a sack or you throw it away or whatever it is. And I think Jimmy G maybe learned a lesson from week one against Minnesota when he threw three interceptions.
I completely agree. The linemen don't like for you taking sacks, but there are some times when you just have to. You don't have anything. You can't escape. And just to your point, to Steve Young's point, just take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
Now, the Lions made a nice comeback, there's no doubt. But, I mean, they would have won this game if Matthew Stafford didn't miss some throws. I mean, he missed some open receivers, and he didn't have his best game. Yeah, I mean, he led them down the field to come back, but he had a fumble, and he missed some open receivers. I mean, that's got to be frustrating for him.
He did miss some, but, first of all, I think the Lions are better than everybody thinks.
Yeah.
First of all, Matthew Stafford's better than maybe his completion percentage was. I don't know exactly what it was off the top of my head, but
34 of 53. He threw a lot of passes.
Yeah, he threw a lot of passes. Not that bad. But yes, there were a few that he missed in the second half that if he doesn't, they win by two touchdowns easy. There's a couple. I'm sitting there in the stands watching, and I'm like, oh, he's got this guy open, and then he launches one. One of them, the people I was sitting with some friends, and I was like, wait a minute, he just launched that ball 60 yards in the air. he threw it from his 20, and it landed in the 20 that was in front of me.
Oh man, he's got such a great arm.
He did miss the guy, but it wasn't by much. You know, I would say he missed him by 2 yards. That's a lot for a completion, but you know, there were a couple of them that there was a corner route that he threw that was actually coming to where I was sitting as well, and just missed them. And if he doesn't, he probably scores on both of those. So thank goodness he missed them. But I would say he looked, he's still pretty damn good.
Oh yeah.
And he's not using Golden Tate enough.
No, he had a pretty good game.
Golden Tate is good.
He really
is
good.
And he is not afraid to go over the middle.
No. Steve, did you ever see the show Ironside? I'm dating myself here.
Yeah, I do remember the name.
It's an old show with Raymond Burr. Perry Mason. He used to be Perry Mason, but he was Ironside. And in Ironside, the Open, I used to love the Open because they had this target, and it would just like swing back and forth, and then all of a sudden the target was on him, you know, and they had this music and everything. I just loved it. So anyway, my point is that I felt like the target the whole game was on Akello Witherspoon. Like, they just targeted him the entire game. They stayed away from Richard Sherman, and Witherspoon was under the gun, and, you know, there were mistakes that were made.
Yeah, there were. I would agree with you that they did target him. They ended up taking him out there in the – they took him out in the fourth quarter. I think it was Witherspoon that had the two.
Yeah, they took him out.
They weren't back to back, but they were two. They were one play apart. The first one I thought was kind of ticky tacky pass interference call, but the second one, yeah, he was draped all over him.
He even knew that one, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't argue that one. The first one I thought was questionable. But yeah, there's no question that they definitely targeted him, and he's got number 19 and number 11. I don't know their names.
Galladay is one of them, and Marvin Jones is the other one.
Oh yeah,
that's Marvin Jones caught the touchdown.
Cal. That's a kid from Cal, right? Number 11.
Yep, Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah. But both of them, I mean, they could run. I mean, they were definitely vertical guys, and yeah, he missed like we just talked about. He missed them a couple times, but he's got some pretty good receivers, it seemed like.
Yeah, well, Chris Spielman was pointing out that you know, in some of the coverage, that you got to worry about the deep guy first, and then you worry about coming in. And I guess he got burned deep a couple times there.
Yeah. They did, but I think overall the. I thought the Niners defense played pretty well. I mean, there weren't, you know, I think, Detroit had one turnover.
Yeah, the fumble.
And the Niners didn't have any. So, I mean, I think that's a big positive. One of the reasons they win the game. I think, like I said, I think defense played pretty well and, So did the offense. They need to continue to be better on third down and in the red zone.
There's one more thing I wanted to ask you about in this game before we talk about next week, and that has to do with having a rapport with a receiver. And I don't know if you could fall too much in love with one receiver, but it seems like Jimmy G really loves looking for George Kittle, almost to a fault. I mean, Kittle's really doing a good job of getting open and catching those balls, but should he be, you know, scanning the field more, or is it just one of those things where, hey, you got somebody you could trust, that he's got to be your number one guy? And Marquise Goodwin, of course, is one of his guys, but he was out for this game.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, you can. There's You know, it's not just Jimmy G. It's any quarterback. Yeah, you can fall in love with someone because you trust him. You know he's gonna he's gonna work hard to get himself open. I think the other part of that is the tight end in the West Coast offense, and it seems to be this way in Kyle's offense, which, as we just talked about, is a derivative of the West Coast offense. A tight end is so instrumental. I think especially nowadays with teams playing so much cover two or two man, that tight end has a lot of routes where he's able to make moves, fake one way, go the other, or he starts one way and stops and comes out of it. Things like that. So, the third thing to that is that if you miss your first guy or your read doesn't take you to your initial guy, the tight end is your second guy a lot of times. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You
have to trust him.
So you have to trust him. You're throwing some sort of a comeback or some sort of an out route to my left, and the quarterback's got to trust this. I say this all the time, and I know I've said it with you, you have to trust your feet to deliver the ball on time, and you have to trust your eyes to get it to the open person. So if you don't trust your feet all of a sudden, and you feel like the timing's off with that first receiver running the out route to the left, naturally your instinct, your eyes are coming right back inside to a route that the tight end's running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's some sort of a 10 to 12 yard cross or some sort of a climbing, kind of cross, but your eyes come back to the middle, meeting the tight end's eyes. So, there's a number of reasons. There's a few reasons for sure in the West Coast offense why the tight end is so important.
Well, the 49ers have a couple of good ones. You look at Kittle, and I mentioned him, and Selleck. So that bodes well.
Totally does. They run good routes. They catch the ball. And he's a very valuable in this offense.
Well, speaking of great tight ends, the 49ers are going to face a really good one in Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. And how about their quarterback? The rookie, Patrick Mahomes, is off to an unbelievable start. 10 touchdowns the first two games. That's an NFL record. He had 6 touchdowns against the Steelers on Sunday, and they come home 2-0 to face the 49ers, scoring 80 points in the first two games. And Steve, you know all too well that atmosphere in Kansas City. You played there. I mean, they're going to be rocking the house.
It is.
This is their first home game. They played the first two games on the road.
Yeah, this is an atmosphere. If you haven't been there, you haven't ever seen anything like it. I mean, 70, whatever it holds, 75,000. 75,000 people will be standing every play. When there's a timeout, everybody sits down. I remember telling Alex Smith numerous years ago when he was, in his first or second year, and I was talking to him on the sideline before the game, and I said, if you do anything today, you cannot allow this crowd to bother you, and then
so
years later when
intense.
It goes,
yeah.
Oh, it's just so loud. That it can, it can disturb you. And then obviously years later when he goes there to play there, he's like, oh man, so different when you're playing their zone team.
I can imagine.
Jimmy G's probably been there. He may not have played there. I mean, he may not have been on the field, but my guess is they've probably been there playing, when he was with New England.
Right, so he knows what to expect.
He knows what to expect. But yeah, they'll be ready. And boy, Mahomes, he's just slinging them in there, baby. He's
what an arm!
You got that little bit of a low release, and just boom, it's coming out.
Well, you would think maybe you can intimidate a rookie quarterback, but not after those first two games.
Gosh, I don't think so. He threw for 5,000 yards in a season in college. He's used to slinging it. And he's got a great tight end. And to that point, I was watching some highlights last night, and who's running down the middle on cover two, you know, even the Tampa two, as they call it, with the linebacker running with the tight end down the middle, didn't matter. Kelsey's getting, he's splitting the middle and outrunning the linebacker, and Mahomes slinging it in there.
Man, they look like a Super Bowl contender early on.
They've got some weapons.
Yeah, and they got a great coach in Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Last thing here, Reuben Foster returning for this game. How much of a difference do you think that'll make?
I think that helps tremendously. He's all over the ball. It's amazing to watch him. He knows how to get to the ball. So I think it'll definitely help. Even though I think the linebackers have played well. What's the young guy's name?
Warner.
Warner, yeah.
I think he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think he's done pretty well. So, there's no question it helps having Reuben back this week.
Elijah Lee is another linebacker that's been involved a lot, I think.
What number?
I think he's 41.
Okay. Now, I'm thinking of 48 sticks in my head.
Well, they have, they've been playing pretty well. It's just they got to recover from what they did in the fourth quarter there. I think they will. They'll put it behind them. It's going to be a great game Sunday in Kansas City. Can't wait to talk about it next week, Steve.
Yeah, look forward to it.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. I want to thank him and C.J. Beathard, who's going to be joining us on a regular basis here on 49ers Extra. Coming up next week, we'll talk about the 49ers game in Kansas City. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.